Up tonight, chapter 17 and chapter 18, and next Sunday night we're going to a wedding. Yeah, we're going to go to a wedding next Sunday night. We're going to get out of this blood, war, violent, demonic, all this that we have been in for months and months and months. We're going to get an uplift, and the view has been on earth, and it's not very pretty. Next Sunday night, the view is going to be in heaven. Much, much, much weighted anticipation for this great event that's going to happen in the future. We'll see that next Sunday night. This earth, as we know it today, is dark, and it's been in darkness. Jesus said it was in darkness. It's in darkness many different ways, but I believe as you study world history, church history, I don't believe it's ever been in a darker hour spiritually than it is tonight. The churches that once stood and preached and proclaimed the Word of God no longer do. No longer do. Marion, who moved back to Wisconsin, cannot find a good church to go to. She can't find a good church to go to. And she really misses the church here, and she misses the teaching and the preaching. And I don't know, we're working on getting her CDs to her, or somehow Wanda's working on that, but she misses it so much. I don't say this because I'm up here. I just say this because this church is here and has been here all these years, and we are becoming more extinct as time goes on. More extinct. And there's never been a more of a darker spiritual hour than we're in tonight. And a lot of people that sit in pews have no clue of what's going on. They have no clue of where we are in time frame of God's program. Don't have a clue and don't want to know. Don't want to know. But if you know and you're ready and prepared, it's exciting. It's exciting to see what's happening. Because, boy, it's all coming down to the end. And this earth is getting prepared to meet God. And they don't even know it. I'm going to give you 10 principles of truth from the two chapters tonight, and we're going to conclude and move out. It's not that we have exhausted it. It's that the preacher's exhausted in it. We've been here. You, like God told Moses, you've been at this mountain long enough. It's time to move on. So anyway, chapter 17 and chapter 18 is the doom of a threefold identity. The identity of religion, the identity of nations politically, and the doom of the economic world system. They're all one world. When you come to this period of time, they're all one world. George Bush, the first, is the first person I ever heard term the coin for a new world order. He said that in 1991. We are now approaching a new world order. Oh, wow. Was that ever a statement? And we were. And from then and until the present, it's all been formating. We're intricately tied and connected. You just let one little thing happen in one place in the world, and it sends shock waves throughout the entire universe. And within moments, where it used to take months, in moments. We live in a different era of time. We live in a different age of time as far as the world's concerned. But they've got an appointment. This earth has got an appointment with God. And it's going to be the doom upon the religious system. It's going to be a doom upon the political system. It's going to be a doom upon the economic system. And the economic system is controlled by the religious system, and the political system is controlled by the religious system. There's a lot of people disagree with me, and they can be wrong, no problem. Someday they'll find out. Religion controls this world. Why? Because Satan is the god of this world. And he is a religious figure. He wanted to be God. He tried to dethrone God. He tried to put himself in place of God. That happened in the past, eternity past. He didn't make it. He was influenced. He had great influence upon people in eternity past. Not only did he have influence in the garden with Adam and Eve and down through the years of the history of man, he had influence with the angels in heaven, where one third of the angels created by God followed him. He is a religious figure. He desires worship. He even challenged Christ to fall down and worship him. He is the God of this world. And everything is controlled religiously. Everything. You may not see it outwardly, but it is the power of this world. Now, chapter 17 and chapter 18 of the book of Revelation is the judgment upon these three identities: religious, political, and economical. And I'm going to give you 10 points. Some of these is going to be review. We've already pointed them out. This is kind of a finalization. This is kind of a final climax, or whatever, however you want to say it. It's the last chapter of this division of the things to come. This is the end, and this is the storm that kind of finalizes it. Now, chapter 17 is about a woman symbolically. Isn't it strange? When God wanted to picture religion, he used a woman. And yet, it was a man that brought it into the world. Now think about that. When God wanted to picture religion in the world, he used a woman. But yet, it was a man that brought it into the world, by the name of Cain. There has been female deities down through the ages of humanity. And we're going to see tonight what she declares herself to be. Some of these things I'm going to point out tonight we have not seen. Some of them we have seen. So religion sits at the helm, pictured as a woman. If you'll notice, in verse 1 of chapter 17, there came one of the seven angels who had seven vials, that's the bowl judgments of the previous chapter, talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, and I'll show unto thee the judgment of the great. And there's the terminology that God uses in describing her character. Not a very pretty picture. That, when God looks at the religious system of this world, that's how he sees it, immoral. That's how he sees it, immoral. In the eyes of God, when he sees this religious system, he sees it as an immoral act and calls it in that terminology. She sits upon many waters. Now, the first point, again, the many waters is very clearly described in verse 15. What the many waters are. There's a lot of symbolisms in these verses and the chapters. But many times God explains those symbolisms, what they are. And the many waters are clearly explained. He saith unto me, the waters which thou sowest, where the whore sitteth, are peoples, multitudes, and nations and tongues. So she sits upon the nations. That means she's in control, not the king. You know, I feel sorry for the elderly Queen of England to have a grandson do what he's done to her. She's been a very outspoken person. She's been a very person of pomp and stance, yes, but she's been a very popular figure, not only in England, but around the world. And she sat on the throne for many years. I think she's 95. But to have her grandson do, never announce to her, never tell her, never say anything. The royal family's in trouble tonight. They're in trouble. And everybody's sitting around going, blah, 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 what's going on? But they're in trouble, and Harry's pulling out. He's going out. He's leaving Dodge. He brought somebody into that family that nobody's going to control. And I'm not going to go into their theatrics and all of that disarray over there, but I feel sorry for her. I really do. An elderly woman that don't deserve this. She don't deserve this. But there is a religious system, and it's not the Queen, and it's not the new elected Boris Johnson. It's the Church of England. That's the power. You just go over there and find out. It's the Church of England. That's the power. Here in America, it's called Episcopalian. They don't call it the Church of England because we're not in England here. They call it Episcopalian. But it's the same thing. Church of England. They're the ones that's in control. Yeah, boy. You go to Romania, you find out who's in control. Very quickly. It's the Orthodox Church. These countries, we don't have this in America because we've got freedom of religion. We're losing it. And Bert's right this morning. They're coming after conservative Christianity. That's who they hate. They see them as a hindrance of bringing into fulfillment their agenda. We stand in their way. Well, God will solve that one day soon for them. He's going to take us out of here. He's going to take us out of here. And we'll no longer be a thorn for them. But anyway, the agenda of this system and how it operates and functions and so forth in this world, religion controls the world. And the political system is under it. And Romania is one of those countries that's absolutely identical. 93% Orthodox. Nothing happens unless they say so. India, state religion, Hindu. That's why I said the night the choir was up here, and I brought that boy up front, I wanted everybody to look at him. His name is Wisdom. He's from India. He's a born-again Christian, and boy, he is sharp. He is sharp. And I called him the trophy of grace to come out of that country of state religion of Hinduism. And many countries are like that. Russia has religions. It's got the religion of the Orthodox, Russian Orthodox. It's got other religions. But the main state religion of Russia is atheism. That's a religion. Here in America, our state religion, not Ohio, but the state religion of America has now become humanism. And you'd be surprised of the preachers that preach humanism. My good old friend Joe Osteen probably leads the list. Humanism, the worship of the body, the worship of the earth, the worship of creation when God condemns it. We're not to worship what God created, we're to worship the Creator. So anyway, it sits this woman who is a symbol of the religious system sits upon the nations. That's control. It controls the political, it controls the economical. Number one. Number two, this system has a home base. With the waters, you also find the seven mountains. They are given in verse 9. They're called the seven heads. They are seven mountains which the woman sitteth. There is only one geographical area in this entire world where a city sits upon it, and that's Rome. That's it. There's only one. Now, there's a lot of mountain ranges. Jerusalem sits on a mountain, a mountain, Mount Moriah. Adjacent to it is Mount of Olives, and there's a mountain range. But Rome sits upon seven mountains. It's the only one. It's Rome who is the head of the control. It don't have as much control on people because of the pedophiling priest. It doesn't have the control upon people as much today as it would like to. But anyway, that's where she sits. We find her character being described not in a pleasant term. And that's the way God sees her. She sits upon many waters. That's nations, very clearly given. She sits upon seven mountains or seven hills. That's only one geographical area. That's in verse 9. That is Rome. Number 3. She is confederate with the political powers. She is confederate with the political powers. If you'll notice with me, I didn't write the verse down. Let's read verse 12. Verse 12, the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings which have no received no kingdom yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. Now we're going to make the connection between the woman, the beast, and the kings. These, in verse 13, these have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. Now, so the confederate, notice if you will, and here's the verse that I did not write down, that I haven't read yet, that I'm going to read right now, that I've been standing up here blah, 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 trying to figure out where it's at. Verse 2. With whom the kings of the earth, the woman of verse 1, is now connected in verse 2 with the kings of the earth. And it reveals there with the kings of the earth their activity described in another immoral act. There they are, tied together. So you have the religious tied with the political. All right. Now we're going to bring into this religious political system that are confederate and tied together. We're going to bring into it one more. Number 4, verse 3. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet collared beast. That's the beast of chapter 13. That's mentioned quite often in this chapter. Full of names of blasphemy, having, exactly the way chapter 13, verse 1 describes it, having seven heads, that's the seven mountains, and the ten horns, that's the ten kings. So, coming into the religious and political system is the Antichrist, the beast. And he brings his, chapter 13, we studied it in comparison to chapter 14, it is the demonic kingdom upon this earth. So the demonic kingdom, according to verse 1, 2, and 3 of chapter 17, are confederately tied together with the Antichrist and his kingdom. So all the religions of the world, all the political sham of the world, are going to be tied together with the Antichrist and his demonic kingdom upon this earth. That's going to be a one world church, a one world political system, and a one world economy, because economics is under political, and political is under religion, and religion is under Satan. That's our world we live in tonight. Anybody that's got a heart right with God couldn't wait to get out of here. I want to tell you, the more time goes on, the more eerie this world becomes. It becomes eerie. Now, I want to tell you, and people, we live in a different society than we did when I grew up back in the late 40s. We live in a different world. And I'll tell you, it's eerie out there. There's still some decent people out there. I'm not trying to say there isn't. There is still, but I want to tell you, there's a lot of bad characters out there. Wow. And I meet some of them when I go to the gym in Newark. That gym's called the YMCA. Y is for young. M is for men. C is for Christian. A is for association. YMCA. Young Men's Christian Association. Number one, there's nobody young there. I thought, man, these people are old in here. Wow. And I find out, talking to them, I'm older than they are. There's nothing Christian about it except for some signs on the walls, a prayer box in the lobby. I'm not going to get too detailed, but I want to tell you something. It's so embarrassing in the men's locker room, I'm going to request a meeting with the director. It's worse than a nudist camp. And I'm talking about men my age. It is disgusting. It's sickening. And I'm going to tell the director, if this is a Christian, I'm going to tell him as soon as I can find him. This is a Christian organization, and I want on the walls in the locker room signs that say the only time a towel is not on you is when you are underwater. If you are going to or coming from, changing whatever, there will be a towel on you. No more nudity in this Christian. Makes me sick. The only reason why I go is because it's helping me. I mean physically. It really, last week I went four times. It really helps me. I walk a mile and then I go down and get on a bike and I'm up to 10 miles. Can you believe that? I'm pedaling 10 miles. I do it in 38, 39 minutes. And boy do I sweat. And then I go in the steam room, which I'm not supposed to be in there. And it helps me, really. Young men's, there's none young. There's a few young people running around here. Most of them are in some type of position. There's nothing Christian about it. The only thing that's true in the four letters is it is an association. That's about it. That's about it. It needs an overhaul. It needs an overhaul. Well, how in the world did I get on that? The beast. You see it connected with the woman. She's the religious figurehead. It's confederate to the political. That's it. So a one-world religion, a one-world government, and a one-world economy. And it all is coming under judgment. In chapter 17, chapter 18. Verse 6. With number 5, in verse 6, the fifth point, her hatred for people of faith. Her hatred for people of like you and I. Verse 6, and I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. She hates Christianity. I'm talking about religion. I don't care what the name, the caller, I don't care. It hates religion. Boy, when you're in those areas, and there's a couple, three fellows over at the Y that we really like each other. They're Christians, and they like me, and I like them. We talk a lot. But boy, once they hear you say something about Christ, or once you say something about the Bible, or they know you're a preacher, man, they look at you like you're some kind of a beast. And boy, they treat you like you got the plague. Religion has never been a friend of faith. You find that with the first man that brought religion into the world. What did he do? He killed his brother. And we didn't have the time, and I challenged you last Sunday night to go to it. You'll find him under the fifth seal, praying for vengeance. The martyrs, those that's given their life for Christ, you'll find them under the fifth seal. In heaven, praying for revenge, to take revenge upon those that have taken their lives. That's under the fifth seal. So there you find number 5 point in verse 6, her hatred for the righteous, her hatred for true Christianity, her hatred. She is hatred, and she'll use anything. She'll use a political system. She'll use a religious system. You know, during the time of the Reformation, just like the Jews in Jesus' day, they had their own officers, they had their own soldiers. Not the state of Israel, the religion of Israel. They had their own officers. The high priest was the ruling member. The Sanhedrin was the ruling body of members. They were all religious. All religious. They had a trial. They put Jesus on trial. They had their own court. The religious system. And Rome is exactly the same way. During the time of Reformation, they put these people on trial, condemned them to death, and burned them at the stake. Religion did that. They didn't need a court system. They didn't need a justice system. They were their own justice system. That's religion. And nobody spoke up or did a thing. It's sad. And in all these countries in the Middle East and other areas that are controlled by Muslim and Islamism and so forth, I want to tell you, they're powerful. They control the countries. They control the people. And you know, the people of Iran, they don't agree with that Ayatollah. They don't agree with that political system. They just come in and took over. The majority of the people in Iran would love to see them go. They're terrorists. Brutal upon their own people. It's the religion that does the controlling. Now, number 6, in verse 5, on her forehead was a name written, Mystery, not Mysterious. Not mysterious. God's not mysterious, and there's no part of God's program that's mysterious. you get into mysticism, it's demonic, not God. Nothing mystery about God. Nothing secret about God. Nothing. You get into mysticism and all of that, that's demonic. God is open. God is what we call transparent. So this is a mystery, and a mystery is something that's never been revealed. So, mystery Babylon. The great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. If your Bible reads like mine, and I assume it would, they're all in capital, bold, black letters. Right? That means emphasis. When the Holy Spirit of God inspired John to write this, he said, put emphasis upon that. Now, that's where it all began, after the flood. And I've said this, and I'll yell from the housetops, not everybody that was in the ark were believers. Not everybody in the ark believed in the God of Noah. They were all in there. But they, most except one, were only in there for repopulation, like the animal kingdom. To repopulate the earth. That's the only reason those people were in that ark and God spared them, is to have people to repopulate the earth. And they did. They weren't believers. And you follow their acts all the way down to the era of the Chaldees in the southern part of modern-day Iraq, and what they call that, it's got several different names given to it. The era of the Chaldees is probably the best. It's that southern tip down there. That's where they went. That's where Nimrod ruled, and that's where the Tower of Babel was built, and so forth. That's where they migrated. God told them to scatter upon the face of the earth. The ones that come out of the ark were told, populate the earth, go scatter the earth. They didn't do it. They were in rebellion, coming out of the ark. We're going to find that with people coming out of the kingdom. There is so many similarities between the kingdom of God and the time of the ark, it's absolutely mind-staggering. And I'm learning, and I'm excited, because after 42 years of study, I'm still learning, and the Holy Spirit of God is still teaching me things. That's where it began, Babylon. And don't go back to Cain. Go back to Babylon. And that's where world history starts, the human race at Babylon. Now, and that's why this system is called what it is. It's called Babylon. So there's the Babylon of ancient, and there's the Babylon of present. You know, on the Pope's royal masterpiece that he puts on his head, there is an artifact right directly from Babylon on that headpiece. Right out of modern-day Iraq. It's right on, an artifice, it's right on that Pope's crown, whatever he wears. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yeah. Modern-day Babylon. That's the system. No wonder God calls it what he does, and their activity, how he sees it, because it's so foreign and so contrary to truth in Christ. So there's its name, and we've mentioned it. Her wealth. Now we go to chapter 18. We'll look at verse 4 of chapter 17, then we'll go over to chapter 18. Her wealth. The woman was arrayed in purple, scarlet collared, decked with gold, precious stones, pearls, have a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. Over in chapter 18, verse 3, all nations have drunk, there it is, All nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. We'll read on. Verse 4 is a direct command for God's people to get out of her. Her sins in verse 5 have reached into heaven, and God remembered her iniquities. Verse 6, reward her even as she rewarded you, double unto her double according to her works, and the cup which she has filled to her double. How much? Now we've seen her wealth, now we're going to see her voice. Here's her voice. Here's what she says. Number 8. Here's what she says. How much she hath glorified. Who are we told in the Scriptures to glorify? Let him that glorieth glory in the clear. That's not New Testament. That's Old Testament. Reviewed again and told by Paul in the New Testament, let him that glorieth glory in the Lord. And you glory because you know him and understand him. Let no man glory in himself. Joel Osteen. That's their voice. Self-glory. How much she hath glorified herself and lived delicately, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, and here it is, I sit a queen and am no widow and shall see no sorrow. Nobody can touch me. That's religion. They think they're above the law. All that political sham going on in Washington is religious. It's religious. And birthright, they're coming after us. We are a hindrance to their agenda. We oppose same-sex marriage. We oppose abortions. We oppose transgender. We oppose many of the things that they stand for. We oppose socialism. We oppose giving away our country. We stand for the flag. We stand for patriotism. We stand for America. They stand against it. And we are a thorn in their flesh when we speak out, because we still have somewhat of a freedom of speech in this country and a freedom of religion. I don't know who's going to be in that Oval Office this time next year, but I want to tell you something. If some bad cats get in there, I may go find me a shelter and crawl in, because things are going to turn south real quick. There's her voice. I said, as a queen, nobody can touch me. I'll see no sorrow. That's her voice. Verse 8, therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death, mourning, famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God that judgeth her. And the kings of the earth, here's the political system in mourning. Stock market just crashed. Why? The judgment on the religious system has caused the stock market to crash. The kings of the earth who have committed fornication and live delicately with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of the torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, the great mighty city, from 1 hour is thy judgment come. You see, there's a political system mourning over the religious system because, wow, how can this happen? She said, we'll see no sorrow. Verse 11, the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. You don't tell me religious don't control the economics? And it's made her wealthy. It's made her wealthy. While people live in countries, and I could take you to areas of Romania, the only people that survive in Romania and are doing anything are people who get out of there and go to Western Europe and work for 6 to 8 months and then bring their money back into Romania and build and live on that. And then the husband or the wife, one or the other, will go to Western Europe again. Maybe they don't have children. Maybe both of them go and work. And then they'll come back and build. They're not building anything on the economy of Romania. Because the Eastern Orthodox has got the people in absolute total poverty. Poverty. Atheism ruled even over the Orthodox Church, but the priest, unbelievable, were in connection with the dictator. It came out. It crawled out after the revolution of 89. It crawled out how the leadership of the Orthodox Church got rich under the Ceausescu communist dictator rule. Yeah, it came out. Many of the priests in the villages and the towns were all in connection with it. When everybody thought the Orthodox Church was suppressed, they were combined and connected with it. Yes, and the poor people paid the price. You remember, it sits upon them. It doesn't sit with them. There's some things you have to pick up. It doesn't sit with them. It sits upon them. And there's a difference. Wow. She glorifies herself. Corrupt system. No mention of Christ, no mention of God, no mention of spiritual. It's all about herself. And there's her voice. In verse 16, we see her doom. Verse 16, saying, "Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, for in 1 hour so..." There it is. "For in 1 hour so great riches has come to naught." There's your economic collapse. The stock market just bottomed out. Why? Because the religious system is judged and doomed. And who's weeping? The political system. There's the three judgments upon it. Now, in chapter 18, I want to close by reading these three or four verses. Chapter 18, verse 11 through 13. "The merchant shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth her merchandise anymore. The merchandise of gold, silver, precious stones, apparel, fine linen." All of this stuff is common things in the Church of Rome that they use. "Scarlet and all fine wood and all manner of vessels of ivory, all manner of vessels of most precious woods, brass, iron, marble, cinnamon, odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil, fine flour, wheat, beef, sheep, horses and chariots." And after mentioning all the metals, all the material, the greatest value that she purchases from the world are slaves and the souls of men. There it is. That's what she wants. Because Satan sits at the helm of it. That's her purchase. "When Abraham went down, when he found out Lot was captured by the four kings, or five kings, whatever it was, Chedorlaomer, back in Genesis, he took his 300 hired people that worked for him, and they went down and they delivered him. They delivered Lot and brought him back and got him out of that mess, set him free. And Abraham brought back all the goods that was taken. They had raided several areas, those kings and kingdoms. Abraham brought back all of that. And the king of Sodom said to Abraham, "You take as much of this stuff as you want, Abraham. You can have it all if you want it." Abraham said, "I wouldn't even take a shoe latch from you, lest you be able to say, I made Abraham rich." You know what the king of Sodom wanted? He didn't want that material. He said, just give me the people. That's what he said. Go back in Genesis and read it tonight. He said, just give me the people. You can have all the material. You can have all the wealth. You can have all the spoil. You can have all that. All I want is just the people. That's what he said. Yeah. Slaves and the souls of men. Oh, the religions out there today and the organizations out there today that enslave people. Jesus never came to enslave us. He came to set us free. But these systems of the world, religiously, politically, or economically, become slaveholders, souls of people. They control them. Debt is one of the worst calamities that ever hit the shores of America, because people don't have enough upstairs to control it. So you can just spend cards upon cards upon cards and roll them up as much as you want, then get you a smart lawyer and go after them and don't pay any of it back. And then go out and get you another dozen cards and fill them up and get you another slick card, another slick lawyer, and get out of that. And you only have to pay a few cents on a dollar. I want to tell you something. That may happen in this world. It's not going to happen in Christ's world. Souls of people, they become enslaved. They become enslaved to the religious, political, and economical system of this world. Stay out of it. We're told, come out of her. Have nothing to do with her. Don't have anything to do with her. No associations with her. So we see her purchase. Yes, she purchased a lot of wealth. But it concludes, slaves and the souls of men. And Satan has got this world right where he wants it. Isn't that sad? That's the doom of the religious, political, and economical system. Are all three tied together, but religion sets at the helm and controls it. This is a religious world. Not spiritual, but it's religious. So, that's it. That's enough of that. We're going to clear the air. Next Sunday night, we're going to the wedding. Wow. Boy, when we get the camera off of the earth and we turn it upward toward heaven, wow, does the content ever change? And does the activity ever change? Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. We got a great future. Amen. Amen. Keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Let the world, you know, we witness, we live, we have to live in it, we witness, and we try to win people and get people and reach family and all of that, but we live for the King and we glorify Him. And that's what we're down here for. We're ambassadors of heaven, and we're here representing our country up there, here on this wicked, godless, sinful world. All right, so we've moved out of that section of judgment. Now we're going to look into what's waiting for you and I. And we look at two or three events. Boy, are they beautiful. And are we going to learn some things? Wow. Because God's teaching me some things that I am just now learning. All right. Thank you for coming out tonight on this Sunday evening. Trust you have a blessed week. Wednesday night, we'll be back 6 o'clock. Got to confirm with the Lord. I am going to go back and go through once again the book of Romans. I've been asked to do that by several people. And there's several in our church that come on Wednesday nights that was not here when I studied through the book of Romans several years ago. I think it may have been 7 years ago. 7 years ago, I think, when we studied on Wednesday night the book of Romans. But anyway, we're going back and go through the book of Romans again, starting this Wednesday evening. All right, thank you for coming out tonight. Shall we stand? Our Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to be in thy presence on this Lord's Day. It's been good to be in the house of the Lord. It's a blessing and an honor to be in your presence. It's a blessing to be with thy people. It's an honor to be able to pick up thy word and the Spirit of God to lead us and guide us into the truths, beginning with Frosty Sunday School lesson and concluding with our study tonight. It's been a blessed day in the house of the Lord. Thank you for your goodness. Protect us. Keep us safe in this evil world. Give us a safe journey home tonight. And dismiss us now with thy blessings upon us. In Jesus' name, amen.